This morning we're going to be talking about children, technology, and social media as we continue through our parenthood teaching. So this will be an interesting topic, and I'll go through some points that I want to make about this, and then later in the class, hopefully towards the end, that I'm going to be relying more on the parents in the room to share wisdom, experience about certain things. So I look forward to that. So if you would, just bow your head and pray with me. Father, thank you for Jesus, Lord. God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, help us this morning. Help us, God. Help us to see truth. Conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus. Bless this time together, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, technology. We can all agree in here probably that technology is a part of our everyday life. In the material it said something along the lines of, it's like the air that we breathe. All of us have some sort of device on us. And I don't know about you guys, but like if I leave my house without my smartphone, it's almost like I've left like my kidney or something behind. I mean, it's like I'm detached without it. It's hard. It's just my generation, the way I was raised, I don't know. It's just such a part of our lives. And what I want to talk about today is just how technology can be a blessing, and it can be a curse. And I want to ask the classroom, what are some, when it comes to things like the iPhone, the iPad, the internet, things like that, what are some of the blessings of this that comes to y'all's mind? Some of the things that's a gift from the Lord when we have things like, go ahead, sister.
Well, my children and I really like YouTube with the worship songs, with the lyrics, and being able to listen to Max McLean, especially with little ones because I can't sit and read, and sometimes it's so helpful.
Yes. Yes, that's good. Anything
that's
else?
Excellent.
Yeah. Sister?
Like you said, for whatever stuff, you know, whatever you want to do, it's simple and so easy access right away.
That's good. Yes, brother?
Just knowledge is right there at your fingertips. When it comes to studying, looking things up, you can, instead of having to start from ground zero, you can start really off where someone else has already filed the path for you. So yeah. be able to dive into things a lot quicker.
Yeah. Those are similar things that I wrote down. I have things like, as I was thinking through it, like Bible study software, sermons, music, education, skills, and you can also connect with friends and family that don't live by you. You can either call them on your phone or through other platforms like Facebook and other social media apps. What do you guys think some of the curses are of technology? Sister?
What I've struggled with is the time consumption. I felt that rather than spending time with my girls, I can find myself glued to my phone.
Yeah.
Before the Lord begins to convict me of that.
Amen. Yeah, so what I wrote is just there's private, immediate, and easy access to just dangerous content. That's one thing that comes to my mind. Listen to this quote from John MacArthur that they included in the material. I thought this was a pretty good quote. He says, "Now people have in their hand what is essentially a deadly weapon, the most forceful tool for life-destroying temptation that's ever been put into the human hand. You've never been able to bring temptation at that level, visually, audibly, and with that availability in history." He says, "You can pollute yourself faster and more extensively than ever." So, yeah, there's there's many blessings that come with technology, but there's also many curses that come with technology. And so what I hope to cover this morning is that we would learn how to use these gifts from God responsibly for His glory. That we would discuss this, talk about this, and just grow in our understanding of this. It's like anything in life, you know. Food is not innately bad, but, you know, it's man that takes food and makes it an idol, and it can become an issue for him. It can become a sin. So, I'm a Calvinist, and I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe that it was God's preordained plan for man to have the iPhone and the internet. I don't believe God was like, surprised when the iPhone was invented. I believe that these different forms of technological platforms and devices are a gift from God to be enjoyed in the proper context like many other things. But like many other of God's gifts to us, how do we begin to discern if we have done what Romans chapter 1 verse 25 speaks of? Have we exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and are we worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator, or the iPhone rather than God? And so what we want to look at is, does the Bible have any wisdom and guidance to offer us when it comes to using technology? And again, that's what I want to discuss this morning. How do we use technology for the glory of God, for our good? And how do we manage and train our children in using technology? So the first point, which I think is the obvious point, is, like you talked about, sister, is our use of technology, whether it be your phone. When I say technology, I mean like mostly the internet, social media, YouTube, things that we're all probably using on a regular basis. Some of us probably aren't. And so I think the easiest way to discern that in our lives is it preventing us? Is our use of technology preventing us from being present with God and our families? I think that's the easiest way to discern that. If you remember earlier in the class, we read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Will somebody turn to Deuteronomy 6 and read verses 6 through 9? Somebody have it? Go ahead, brother.
And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Thank you, brother. So we see from this passage that when it comes to families, what are we supposed to be training our children? What's supposed to be the foundation, the focus of our everyday lives? What are we supposed to be imparting to our kids? It's God. It's His Word. It's His truth. It's the gospel. And so one way we can discern easily if technology has become a problem is it hindering us from doing that? Are we too distracted? You know, are our hearts divided? Do our kids know more about what's going on with different events in the world on social media than they do the Word of God? And that starts with us as parents. You know, what kind of rules, how are we monitoring that? What are we teaching them ourselves? So who or what is influencing and training our children? Is it God's Word, or is it predominantly social media? Are we using tech devices as portable babysitters? You guys ever thought of that? I don't know, you guys ever been tempted? You're tired, you're worn out, and it's like, you know, here you go, son. Go run off and just go play on the iPad. You know? We don't want to use it that way. That can be dangerous. And we need to ask as parents, do we set a good example ourselves? You know, if we're going to have standards for our kids, we want to be like the Apostle Paul. We want to be somebody when it comes to following the Lord. Are we someone that's worthy, that we could tell our children, like if our kids looked at us, could they say, there's someone, my dad, my mom, is someone worth imitating in the Lord? Or that there's someone that I could look up to, somebody that I could imitate, and I would be serving the Lord. Parents can, you know, are we consumed by technology? Do we have a hard time putting it down? You need to ask yourselves, can I put this stuff away on demand? Can I go on a technology fast? Can I put Facebook away, the Drudge Report, all this stuff? Can I put it away for a period of time and not, you know, fiend and act like I'm addicted to drugs when it's taken away from me? Can I function without it? So if we continue, we look throughout the scriptures and we see in the New Testament especially that we're commanded to be watchful, alert, and awake. So another way we can discern whether we're doing this or not, whether technology is being used for our good or for our harm, is it kind of putting us in a fog? Are we able to be watchful over our souls, alert, awake, looking out for the souls of our children, any kind of snares or traps that might be in the way? Like I said, is it distracting us? Is it leaving us feeling dull? Is it hindering us in our walk with the Lord? I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And there's several verses that you could go to in the New Testament where you could see that we're constantly commanded to be awake, to keep watch, to be on guard. I mean, I think in the Psalms it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So, we have an enemy, Satan. Our enemy's goal is to sift us of our faith, as Jesse preached about. It's to destroy our faith in the Lord, and then also it's to destroy our families. And some of the greatest means that Satan has used to destroy marriages and family is the internet. It's things like technology. So do we have rules in our house? Do we have ways that we're do we treat something like the internet, social media, with care? Are we just kind of letting our kids run off and act like the world with it? Are we responsible with it? Do we see the dangers of it? And are we speaking with our kids about these things? Another point is, which to me is one of the most important things, is technology helping or hindering us in being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ? If you read in Romans chapter 12, passage that I believe we're all really familiar with, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, another way we can discern whether technology has become a blessing to us or a curse is, are we walking with Christ? Or are we too distracted and too busy with things like Facebook and the Drudge Report that we don't even pray and read our Bibles? That we don't even commune with the Lord? And then, like, what are we training our kids to do? Like, when I think of my sons, and I'm always tempted to, you know, to become legalistic in this. I'm always tempted. Because I know I have a vision of what I want for them, the kind of men I want them to be. And so there'll be seasons to where it's like, you know, we have an Xbox in the house. You know, kids We let them play video games. And then there'll be moments where it's like a conviction will set in and I'm like, how is this good for them? How is it? And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, I just jump into them and start scolding them like, you know, you need to put, we don't need to be doing this as much anymore, and we need to be men of God, and we need to be reading the Word, and we need to be doing this. But sometimes I've seen in myself that I'm doing that because I'm convicted with my own issues. I'm convicted because I can't put the phone down. And so I'm lashing out. I'm venting on them, which is terrible. And if we're doing that, we should repent of that. But I think the desire there is genuinely a good desire, that I want them to know Christ, that I want them to know God's Word more than I knew it at that age. I want them to be farther along than I am when they're 28. You know, I want my sons to be able to teach me doctrine and theology about the Lord one day. That's a genuine desire of my heart. And so when I look at their lives, I'm like, do they know more about these things, or do they know more about the Word of God? And sometimes it's pretty obvious. If they don't know more about God's Word, what I'm training them to do is to give themselves to these things in the world over here. Things that, you know, I don't think they're innately bad. Like I said, I think they can be enjoyed in its proper context. But that's what I hope to talk about and get wisdom from y'all today, because I'm learning in this too. So I think this next point is tied, the next two points are tied to being conformed into the image of Christ. It says, is it helping us grow in wisdom? Is it helping us to grow in wisdom? One of the quotes from the material says, we need to help our children see that they live in a swamp of often entirely useless information and teach them how to find sources of true wisdom. So how many of y'all have got on a social media feed and it's like there's just such a lust for all the information and knowledge? And you're reading stuff about all kinds of things that don't even pertain to your life, that's not going to have any kind of practical application for anything in your life. But you kind of have a lust there that you want to grow in knowledge of these things. So we want to be warning our children, like the quote says, that yes, with these we have access to a lot of information. There's a lot of knowledge. We have it at our fingertips. But we want to be telling our kids about true wisdom, true knowledge, stuff that's going to benefit them and be helpful to them. It doesn't mean that it's wrong to read things that, you know, that isn't a work of theology or the Bible. Like, I use YouTube all the time for skills at work. I mean, I've been out on calls for HVAC, and it's like, I'm not familiar with what's going on right now. You know, okay, Google, and ask the question, and there it is instantly. I don't have to make a phone call, so I'm not condemning things like that, and I'm not even, and we'll talk about this hopefully here soon, as how we encourage kind of a positive, good use of technology in the home, and train our children to see it, to use it responsibly and carefully, that it's not just a place to go and kind of lose your mind, have a vacuum in your brain. That can actually be really beneficial and a blessing. The next one is it encouraging or hindering our prayer life? Dependence on God, the Holy Spirit? If we're lacking understanding in certain areas of life or guidance, are we quick to turn to Google and Paul Washer instantly? Blessings? Listen to sermons? Not condemning it. Or do we turn to God in prayer? His Word. Do we seek out the answers from the Lord? Is our relationship with God real? Or do we have Paul Washer's relationship with God? Tim Conway's relationship with God? Jesse's relationship with God? Do we have our own intimate relationship with the Lord, where we're walking with God, where we're seeking God through His Word and prayer, different areas of life? And are we training our kids? Do they see that in us? Or do they go, oh, Christianity's easy, you know? If you got a question, you just put on Paul Washer and you just sit there and listen to it. You don't have to pray, you don't have to read that Bible. You just listen to Paul Washer. Listen to Paul Washer, by the way. I'm not condemning Paul Washer. The Lord will use sermons, most definitely. And how that relates to technology is, are we too distracted with technology? For some of us, we're lacking in our Bible reading. We're lacking in prayer. And I think the answer for most of us is just hitting, like it's staring at us right in front of our faces. Oh, I just wish I had a more deeper walk with the Lord. I just wish God was more real to me. I just wish I knew more of God's Word, that I prayed more. And it's like, well, can you put the smartphone down? You know, you have, I think on the iPad, you can actually go in and you can see how much time you're spending on certain websites, certain apps. I think if maybe some of us did that, we would be really convicted. I'm kind of afraid to do it sometimes. Because I love YouTube. YouTube has been a snare to me. I can find myself going down the deep, deep tunnel of YouTube video after YouTube video. And so we want to be careful with that. Some of us, we might have to apply what Jesus said, where we pluck out our right eye and we cut off our hand, because we don't want to fool ourselves and say, oh, I've got this under control, I can handle it. Some of us, we might have to go to a flip phone. You might have to get rid of a computer. I mean, I'm serious. Some of us can't handle it. One thing that I've applied to my own life is I've given my wife I got an app on the phone that locked me out of YouTube, and I gave my wife the password, because I just saw that no matter how hard I tried, how many good intentions I had, I found myself just wasting time on YouTube, going back to it. It was an idol. It was a snare for me. How much time do we have? Okay. And so, you know, when it comes to prayer, I think of Luke chapter 5, verse 16, where it speaks about Christ. He would find a quiet and desolate place. Are we able of finding a desolate and quiet place like Christ to pray, to meditate, think about God's Word? You hear Jesse and Phil constantly talk about meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on it. You know, chew the cud, regurgitate it. Are we too distracted? I mean, can we even allow ourselves to do that with just all the devices and the distractions in our lives? Go ahead, brother.
I noticed that when electronics become an idol and a snare for my family, the times that we're able to walk away from it is when we are actively doing something. If we're building something, working on a project together as a family, or we're going on, you know, we're going camping or something like that. And it's funny because then there becomes another set of distractions, potentially. It doesn't have to be the electronics. And as you're talking about all these things, I mean, everything's resonating with me. And what I'm now thinking about is as someone who's converted, my heart's converted, and I struggle with the temptation for being distracted with electronics. For the children who aren't converted, their hearts are bent towards, you know, that anyway. And so we're battling not only our own, you know, sin in our own lives, we're trying to train and correct, you know, and teach children who are bent towards sin.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult balance, I guess.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's a good point, brother. Yeah, if we have unbelieving children, we can't expect them to act like Christians. But also, you know, we're to be training them. We're to be leading them, which I know you agree with, brother. And so just because our kids are bent towards sin, that doesn't mean we kind of have like a, well, we don't go to the opposite where I don't want to be legalistic. And we've had classes where we've talked about that. We should have rules in our homes. We should be trying to modify outward behavior. But, one thing we need to realize is that any kind of love for video games, you know, selfies, whatever it is, that's not the biggest problem. You know, whether it's, you know, lust or alcohol or drugs one day. That's not their biggest problem. Their biggest problem is their hearts. And so it goes back to the classes earlier where we spent time talking about getting to the heart. Getting to the heart. So any kind of behavior that you're seeing, it's just an outward manifestation of what's in their heart. And it's basically what an unbelieving child is. I don't love God. I love this idol. I don't want God. I want this idol. And so it's easy to, and I'll mention this in the conclusion, or I can just mention it now, probably for time's sake, because I want to open it up for discussion and practical things, because I think that's good. Is if you, like I said, if you're looking at these outward manifestations of behavior, remember what it says in Mark chapter 7 where Jesus says, it's not what goes into the man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of him, for out of the heart. And then he goes on and he begins to name all these sins. So Jesus is telling us constantly what the problem is. The scriptures are telling us what it is. It's our hearts. It's our children's hearts. And so, parents, when we see things with technology that's disturbing or it's sinful that we don't like, that we don't want in our kids' lives, it's easy for us to just go, I'm going to just start implementing all these rules and I'm going to be strict and I'm going to cut this thing out. Guess what? If you never get to the heart, the moment they turn 18, they're going to buy a computer, they're going to get back on Facebook, whatever it is that's freaking you out about, they're just going to go to it when they have freedom, when there's no longer that restraining grace in their life. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have rules. We're trying to train men and women of God. And so we talked about discipleship. Like, I want to be taking my son by the hand and showing him what a man of God does. This is what he does. He comes to his Bible. He opens it up. He seeks the Lord in prayer. He asks God for help. He takes notes. You know, this is how he reads the Bible. I mean, to that level. So, yeah. Things like that. Brother.
Just with this, one thing that's helped me out a lot is, A, establishing a relationship with the Lord is primarily what's going to help out. And then B, for me, is if I write a lot, and when I have a conviction about something and I know it's from the Lord, I write it down and I date it. I've done it for a couple of years now. And it's almost like putting on a wedding ring. You know, it's a reminder of faithfulness. And it's a reminder of what's been spoken to you. Because it does become a thing of discipline. Because
yeah.
You're in love.
No.
And to me, that's been key. And then you have the proof. You know the day, you know the time, you know the hour. When you wrote this down, because it was conviction from the Lord, it's something that you're going to remember. It's something that you can go back to and you can read it. You know, it's something that you can continually keep alive in your heart, this was a word from God.
No.
And it's something that really does help out. So when you have those times of wavering or feeling like you're about to fall into something, you go back to that and you look at it. This is what the Lord spoke to you. This is the verse that he spoke it through. Just keeping those things fresh and alive inside of your heart through his Spirit, it's very, very encouraging. And it's a good reminder.
It's good, brother. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. So how many parents in here have children that have smartphones? Okay. How many of them are on Facebook and things like Instagram? Okay. So, I guess, Danielle, you're by yourself. How would you...
Yeah, I'm not by myself.
Okay. Well, good. I'm not condemning you. I'm not trying to single you out. Like, my sons, they don't have smartphones and they don't have social media accounts. So it's like, for me to say this is what we're implementing to guard them, what are some things that you and Jesse do to kind of, like, you realize the dangers of social media. What are some of the things that you guys are doing to kind of guard and to train and teach your children or your sons, how to use it responsibly and for the glory of God?
I was going to raise this as a question of the class, too, because I think it's very difficult, honestly, with teenagers. And, you know, you've got some that, at least for us, potentially just a couple years of being on their own, or it could be, yeah, out in the world. And so we've really battled that line between absolutely not, can't have it, because I don't have it, and Jesse doesn't have it, and that's just a personal choice that we've made for ourselves. But then realizing that this is the world that our kids are going into, particularly our boys that are older, and we want them to learn how to use these things, that they're interested in them now before they go out on their own,
yeah,
and have us guide them and walk them through that. We put particular guards on there, like covenant eyes and everything else, but at the end of the day, there are new ways, and with the enemy out there, of inventing ways of getting around all these things that parents,
yeah,
can put on it. So I can't say that that is completely fail safe. And so we try to talk to them. We do confiscate the devices and look through, and Jesse, having a background in computers, can kind of even check things, anything that's been deleted or anything else, try to walk through those things with the boys, and always just letting them know, we love you no matter what, but here's what the Word of God says, that here's the snares that these things can set for you and how much time you're spending on it. For us, we really try to keep our boys extremely busy,
yeah,
in other things, and that has limited their ability. They're exhausted to have much time for their Xbox or their phone, but still kind of trying to teach them how to use it, too.
Yeah, that's good. So you guys are, you're basically, you're just holding them accountable.
We are, but I would welcome suggestions from others, because it's hard.
Yeah.
This is the world that they are going into now. I even find it hard to stay off, because messages through her co-op and everything else, it's all on Instagram and Facebook, and that's the only way I can access it.
Yeah.
So I still want to teach them how to use these things.
Does any other parents in the room have...
I know with Colin, we have walked him through some things where he's come to us and said, hey, you know, what is this? And I think having an open and frequent communications are able to, now Colin's still young, you know,
yeah,
10 years old, but what we're seeing is that starting that foundation now, and having that open and honest communications where we can talk about, you know, even really awkward, you know, difficult subjects, it's good that he's coming to us, or we see that he is even guarding his little sister and saying, you know, hey, Mallory, you know, you should be looking at that, because it could. So I'm trusting, you know, that will continue into the teenage years, but we're not there yet, so... I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah. And that's why I'm asking, because, I mean, I could talk name statistics up here, and I could talk, I mean, I read some, you know, a little booklet on, that Pastor George had shared with me on how to use, you know, signing a social media contract, and they had some good pointers and good advice, but, you know, I was really wanting to depend on God, the Holy Spirit, just getting wisdom from you guys in the room that are in that situation, that are experiencing that right now. You know, I think both of y'all talked about that it's good to be talking with our kids about these things. We don't just let them go off and be independent, you know. Like Brother Chris brought up, the world says all teenagers will be teenagers. There's no hope for them. They just have to grow out of it. You know, they'll become men one day or women one day. Just leave them be. Let them, you know, let them fall. And that's straight from the world. So I think that's wise that we talk to our kids about these things. I know that Jesse had shared with me one time that when I was like, we don't freak out on our kids when we do find something that just, we don't want to freak out. Lose our minds to where they'll never talk to us again. They'll never speak to us again. You know, maybe it's wise to step back and pray and to talk to them. Remember, the issue is the heart. So anything that you're finding with your kids, it's an outward manifestation of a sinful, idolatrous heart. So what do we talk to them about? See, that's the thing. Getting back to the gospel, we have hope as parents. You know, we're not like the world where we're out trying to, you know, we're going to read this psychiatrist and this article over here and this guy's trying this and there's this book and everybody's just running around and they don't know what works. What we have is we have the gospel. We have the power of God for salvation. And so what do? We talk to our kids about this outward manifestation of sin and we show them that the issue is their heart. And so we're always pointing them to Jesus Christ and the gospel. Always. Go ahead, brother.
Just one of the things that I like a lot was, one thing I like about you keep it busy. I mean, I think that's obviously great. But the fact of just not shunning it. Because I've met a lot of kids growing up whose parents totally would just shun things. And they went out on their own. And they just wanted to consume everything. I mean, I've met a lot of kids like that. And then the kids that I've met that came from Christian families, that their parents did walk with them and things, they always had this remembrance of what was spoken to them.
No.
And they had a lot more self-control, which was probably the biggest thing I saw with a lot of those kids. It wasn't taboo. Everything was a taboo. So they weren't just falling into stuff constantly. I just thought that was good.
Brother?
Full disclosure, we only have one smartphone just for practical reasons, portability.
Yeah.
You know, me and my wife share it. And the only reason why I don't have more, again, just for cost, again, for practical purposes. But in terms of everything that we've talked about up to this point builds, it is a foundation for social media. In terms of how to instruction, you know, telling our kids what their purpose in life is, sharing the gospel, etc. But I know for us personally, I've talked to you about this as well. I mean, I sit down. I mean, I go over with my young boys for weeks. You know what God's going to call them, and what they do now is going to shape them into the men that they're going to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, they see Twitter. I'm not on Facebook. They see Twitter. They see social media. We talk about the dangers. We go through it. And we listen to Brother Paul Washer. He has a series on biblical manhood. And you know, we watch stuff on the TV. And right now, obviously, you know, Miguel, there might be something different. Right now, that's appear to be sensitivity to those things. Like when that commercial comes up,
yeah,
you know, they're like turning their heads, thankfully. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like when they get out of the house. But we talk about all the those things, those dangers of porn, of what's so freely available.
Yeah.
And we talk about the spiritual battle. Everything that we've talked about up to this point, we've engaged. We start to engage our young men with the world they live in. But again, only the Holy Spirit can do that work in their hearts, can illumine their mind, and can convict them of the sin that could enter their mind and their heart as a result of looking at that stuff. And so, again, I'm definitely not putting myself an example by any means, but that's what we have done. And so far, you know, praise the Lord, you know, we give them time on the computer.
Yeah.
We actually have quite a bit of time. We have covenant eyes, and you know, I can look at stuff on their history as well. So far, praise the Lord,
it
hasn't gone already. But again, I think the emphasis should be on relationships with our boys, our daughters, talking with them, knowing them knowing you. I think your point about it, like not freaking out, just kind of just freaking out and just kind of condemning them, as opposed to keeping that relationship strong so they'll be willing to share stuff with you.
Yeah.
Because we have had a boy share, I did this.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to think that once he shares that I did this, that I'm just going to automatically just smack him and shame him and treat him like he's not my son anymore.
No.
He's still my son. And I always want him to be able to come to us.
No.
He does.
I mean, it's sad to see them stumble into something bad and we're trying to protect them, but I think
in my situation, from looking back, I'm glad that there has been a little stumbling, or we have been on it too much. Because then we're able to teach them, well, this is how you repent for it. And
yeah.
Grace, you know, we don't want you to...
Well, what you, yeah, that you're going to fall short of the grace of God because you fell into this.
Yeah, that's good.
You can point it to the gospel. You can point the forgiveness of sins. And we can move forward on that.
Brother, would it be a good idea to share with our children ways that they could help us? Like, you know, I've shared with my wife my stumbling blocks. Or, like, you know, I've asked her, you know, if you see me in this type of situation, you know, then that's the point that I need help because I'm, you know, on the threshold of sin. Would that be wise to share that with our children so that they can have an understanding that, you know, this is how daddy, mommy and daddy are fighting sin in their lives. Maybe that will teach them, you know, to fight sin in their lives too. And so they'll maybe say, hey, mommy, daddy, here's how I'm, you know, tempted in certain ways.
Yeah, I think that's wise, brother. And you and Chris are kind of saying the same thing as and what we were talking about earlier is we don't want to freak out. We want to, like you said, sister, it's times where we can talk to him about repentance, about you probably have some of your best gospel presentations with your children that are heartfelt when they've just stumbled into some sort of sin. And you see that they're convicted by it. That they're upset that they've disappointed you. And so that's where you've probably had some of your strongest points at presenting the gospel to them, talking to them about the love of God. And normally, brother, with my sons, I do that. I open up about my struggles because I want them to relate to me.
Right.
If they can't relate to me, they're not going to come to me and talk to me about when their problems. I want them to be men when they're married to come to their dad who's been married and say, Dad, you know, I need your help in this. What did you do when this happened? And if I'm just so holier than thou that I'm acting like a Pharisee, right? I'm more righteous than I'm acting more righteous, giving off an image that I'm more righteous, that I don't struggle than I actually do. They're not going to come to me. And that brings up an interesting point in my mind is where are they going to go? If they're on social media and things like that, they're going to confide in their friends, other people that will listen to them and talk to them. And sometimes, if not most of the time, they're probably not going to give them the best advice that you could give them. They're not going to give them truth. They're going to go find that somewhere. Sister?
To your point, something Jesse and I try to tell the boys a lot is we aren't just doing this as your parents as far as the accountability and putting on covenant eyes and other things onto your phone. That this is something mommy and daddy have too. This is something that the men and women in the church have. Like, you don't outgrow this accountability because you're not going to outgrow the temptation of sin. The enemy is never going to stop trying to make you fall, particularly in certain areas that we see more susceptible with the internet. And so trying to, especially boys that want to be independent and they think at some point I'm too big for this type of stuff, reminding them, no, you're not. Your father's not too old for it. The men in the church are not. The women in the church are not. We will always put biblical accountability in our lives to help us when we're tempted with it then.
That's good. That's good.
I think, Paul Washer said very succinctly when he's asked, well, Daddy, why don't you allow me to do this? And Paul's like, well, I don't even trust myself.
Yeah. That's good. That's really good, Chris. Yeah, so we want to relate with our kids' struggles. That's good. Man, I was really encouraged by y'all. That's a lot of good wisdom in the room.